Persecution, my friend, is inevitable. We can't escape from it. When the church is the church, when the body of Christ is at its best, persecution is bound to happen. But when we play it safe, that won't be the case. If the church is going to be the church, we cannot afford to play it safe.
The church is one foundation, is Jesus Christ her Lord.
Foundations for Living is the radio ministry of Van Buren United Methodist Church and is underwritten by our friends at Fincannon Ford in Hartford City. We are happy you tuned in, and we invite you to be our guest as we listen to Reverend Cindy Osgood, pastor of Van Buren United Methodist Church, and we explore together Foundations for Living.
Encounter anybody challenging you about going to church this morning, did you? You walked in the same way you walk in nearly every Sunday morning. But there are places in the world, my friend, where there are people who live in danger to be able to share their witness, their relationship with Christ. They face turmoil to be able to get to church. They may have to even go to church underground to be able to participate in church. Yet what we read in Scripture is that persecution is something to be rejoiced, because when we serve Jesus Christ and we're persecuted, we're brought to the closest part of our relationship when we suffer persecution for the cause and the sake of Christ. Well, think about this morning. When have you been faced with persecution? When have you been faced with standing up for your faith and facing ridicule? And if you have, may you rejoice in that, because that invites us to celebrate God's presence in our midst. Let's sing together this morning our opening hymns.
Our loves again.
Of blessing, O God, come from you each and every day. And sometimes we recognize them. Sometimes they pass us by and we fail to see them. But we pray this day that you might pour out your blessings upon us, that we might sense your presence very near to us this day as we worship together on this day. May we give thanks that we came to worship and did not have to face any challenges. But we know, O God, there are places in our life where we face challenges for our faith. And may we face those challenges without fear, without regret, without difficulty, and be willing to say what we need to say on your behalf, even though it may cause us some distress, because you will be right there beside us as we deal with those circumstances and situations. We ask and we pray this in your name. Amen.
Today's scripture lesson comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 15, verses 18 through 25. If the world hates you, realize that it hated me before it hated you. If you had anything in common with the world would love you as one of its own. But you don't have anything in common with the world. I chose you from the world, and that's why the world hates you. Remember what I told you. A servant isn't greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they did what I said, they will also do what you say. Indeed, they will do all this to you because you are committed to me, since they don't know the one who sent me. If I hadn't come and spoken to them, they wouldn't have any sin, but now they have no excuse for their sin. The person who hates me also hates my Father. If I hadn't done among them what no one else has done, they wouldn't have any sin. But now they have seen and hated both me and my Father. In this way, what is written in their scriptures has come true. They hate me for no reason.
Well, we are to the end of the Beatitudes as of this morning, when I finish, that is. Turning to Matthew chapter 5 once again, verses 10 through 12. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. For rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. This is the word of God. Well, as I said, you weren't persecuted on your way to church this morning, thanks be to God, but there were people who are and were. One of the endearing qualities of Jesus, and perhaps even a frustrating quality for others, may have been his sheer honesty. He didn't hold back. He didn't shy away from what needed to be said. He just said what needed to be said. And sometimes it wasn't always appreciated. It wasn't liked. It wasn't approved of because it was different. It was different than what all of the Pharisees and the Sadducees and those who'd gone ahead of him had been saying. But Jesus never left anyone wondering, however, what would happen to them if they chose to follow him. He said to the disciples, come and follow me and I will make you disciples who will fish for people. And he gave them words of instruction about what they would do. Now his way, our way, if we choose to take that way, is not one that's easy always. But it would make us great and it makes us great and our life will be great if we continue to follow him. Now that doesn't mean that it won't have difficulty. It won't have times of trial. It won't have times of frustration. But if you put it on a balance, on a weight, on a set of scales, and balance it out, in the long run, choosing to follow Christ will probably have greater rewards and have greater opportunity than not following Christ. The early Christians in the time of Jesus after his death suffered in every area of their life. They suffered in their work and occupation, whether they would be loyal to Christ or whether they would just simply make a living or would they do that which would honor God, would honor Christ. It would bring difficulty to their social life, would get challenged because they had been used to worshiping other gods and drinking in favor of those gods. And now they were being told, you shall worship the Lord your God and no other. And they would be found in direct contrast to their friends and their neighbors, and they would cut themselves off from people who they had believed in. It would cause difficulty in their home. People that had been Jewish, people that had been other ways of living, were worshiping the multiple gods that they were used to worshiping, suddenly were not going to do that any longer, and it would cause difficulty in their homes. One of the scriptures that we see Jesus share with the disciples early on in their journey of faith is he gets ready to send them out on a journey. And he gives them this set of instructions. He says, go nowhere among the Gentiles and enter into no town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, proclaim the good news. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. You receive without payment. Go then without payment. Take no gold or silver or copper in your belts, no bag for your journey or two tunics or sandals or a staff, for laborers deserve their food. Whatever town or village you enter, find out in it who is worthy and stay there until you leave. And as you enter that house, greet it. The house is worthy. Let your peace come upon it. But if it is not worthy, let your peace return to you. And if anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, shake off the dust from your feet as you leave that house or that town. For truly I tell you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment than for that town. One of the other scriptures that comes from Matthew that deals with the home life that we often struggle with reading, Jesus says, do not think that I've come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set man against his father and a daughter against her mother and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And one's foes will be member of one's household. Whoever loves father and mother more than me is not worthy of me. That's a tough statement to hear, isn't it? And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take up the cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Those who find their life will lose it, And those who lose their life for my sake will find it. Following Jesus is sometimes a difficult process. Several years ago, there was a book, and I think it's probably still in print, probably still available, In His Steps by Charles Sheldon. Maybe you've read that book. It was an experiment, and out of it came several years ago, we had things like WWJD showed up everywhere. What would Jesus do? And it was a reminder to us to ask ourselves as we got ready to do something, is this what Jesus would have me do? Is this what Jesus would have me enter into? And the discussion, the book was a pastor, and he gathered up a few people in his church, and he invited them to go into an experiment with him for about a year. And he had a news editor, and he had a housewife, and he had several people that altered their business life, their life for a year, with that in mind. What I'm about to do, would Jesus have me do that? How would it affect their daily life if they lived in the way that Jesus would have them to live? And it posed some interesting processes. The newspaperman had to ask himself, was the things that he was printing, were those the things that Jesus would have printed? Or would he have to change the way he wrote and the style in which he wrote in order to honor and please God? And it's a question we have to ask ourselves. Does what we do reflect the manner of Jesus? You see, people paid great torture for being a Christian or choosing to follow God and Jesus rather than the pagan gods of their former beliefs. For you could be burned at the stake. You could have your limbs torn off. You could have your eyes plucked out. You could have hot things poured over your body into wounds that had been battered upon you because you had said or done something counter to the culture of that day. Two reasons for persecution in that day. There were slanders. They didn't like the words of Jesus from the communion setting. They thought they were cannibals. Take this bread and eat it. Take this blood and drink it. They didn't understand that those were words from Jesus about what it meant to accept the love that God had for them. They heard those simply on the surface. As they were eating human being, they were drinking blood. These were not sane people. That was grounds for persecution in those days. Immoral practices. They didn't like the fact that Christians got together and had what we called an agape love feast, what we know as Holy Communion. Oh, heaven forbid that you'd get caught giving one of your brothers or sisters a holy kiss. Why, those folks are participating in orgies in the church. That can't be. We've got to do away with those people. Heaven forbid that they might show Christian brotherly, sisterly love to one another. And oh, heaven forbid that you might get up and preach hell, fire, and damnation and talk about the end of the world as it came together in fire at the coming of Christ, because those were people who were political and revolutionary agitators. That got you into trouble as well in that day. Christians were persecuted because it tampered with their family relationships. Families were torn apart. They'd been long-held families that had a strong worship life in the Judaic tradition, and suddenly someone said, I'm going to become a Christian. Would be that similar if you were in an Amish community and someone decided to go against the Amish tradition. You know, the kids in the Amish tradition, at 16, they go out and have their year of, shall we say, freedom. And then they have to decide whether they're going to come back or not. And it's a bad thing if you're in the Amish community and you've been shunned because you're no longer a part of that family. They won't speak to you. They won't talk to you. They won't acknowledge you. They won't have anything to do with you if you go against the Amish tradition. So there were people in that day for whom their families were torn apart. The political slander was the biggest reason for persecution. Their only crime was that they set Caesar above Jesus Christ. You remember the discussion when they asked Jesus who they should pay taxes to? And he said to them, render under Caesar what is due Caesar, but render under God what is God's. Suffering persecution, however, allows us to show our loyalty to Jesus Christ. Will we be loyal to Christ, or will we just go the other way because it's expediently easy? Has your loyalty to Christ ever cost you anything that others witnessed? Suffering persecution is the same way that Jesus went. You remember what happened to him. He hung upon a cross. And even Peter, years later, would hang upon a cross. However, he said he was not worthy of hanging head up. He wanted to be hung head down. So he was placed on a cross in the form of an X with his head hanging down. But the martyrs and the prophets went behind Jesus and walked the same way that Jesus walked. You see, we don't like to suffer. We don't like to be in pain, but to suffer persecution for the cause of Christ is really a good thing. You may not want to hear that, but it is a good thing. Something memorable happens. We make a difference in the world. We make a change in the world. We have an effect upon other people, people who come behind us. Think about the civil rights injustices of our country and the people who paid great price for those who walked in defense of those who were another color. I'd encourage you, if you've not seen the movie Hidden Figures, to see that while it's out. It's a wonderful movie about the people who got our initial space program up in space, but it's also a wonderful look at the injustices of civil rights in the early 60s and the struggles that folks of another class dealt with because they were simply of another color. And I'd like to say we're different today, but you know what? We're really not. We're still struggling. Think about all the stuff that's been going on in our streets in our country. Black lives matter, white lives matter, people being shot at. We haven't come as far as we'd like to come, have we? It's a moment of suffering with the question of loyalty to Christ in our world. I remember back in Columbine a few years ago, a young lady, I think her name was Sarah, deny Christ and I'll leave you alone. Deny Christ and you won't face your death right here and now. But her relationship with Christ mattered more than facing death that very day in Columbine. This is a glory, it's something to be joyful about. To leap with joy exceedingly. It's kind of hard to think about that when you're thinking about something as dark and awful as persecution. But the thing about it is that when we're willing to face persecution, Jesus will be right here. You will not be abandoned in the face of persecution when your cause and your reason for doing it is for the cause of Jesus Christ. We may be invited at times for our relationship with Christ to suffer losses for work. Losses in our family, losses of friends, suffer loneliness, suffer the loss of love. But Christ will be nearer to us then than at any other time in our lives. Remember that wonderful biblical story. We've been practicing a song down in choir, and we're going to get it together one of these days. It's a story about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And it's not a sad story. It's a happy song. You'll like it. We have to get that together now that I've mentioned that. But you remember, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were thrown into the fiery furnace because they refused to worship the God that Nebuchadnezzar asked them to worship. They said, no, we're going to worship our God. And so they were bound up, thrown into the furnace. And they were standing outside the furnace watching. And they said, wait a minute, didn't we throw three men into that fire? Why is it we suddenly find a fourth man in that fire? And not only were there four men in the fire, but they were loose. They were unbound, walking around in the fire. When they came out, they had not been burned. They had not been harmed. For God was right there by their side. When we decide to take on the cause of Christ, it may get messy. We might have to get our hands dirty. I think I mentioned that last week. When we follow these Beatitudes, we're faced with getting in a muddy mess, a dirty mess. But Jesus will be with us. When we face mourning, when we face difficulty, Jesus will be with us. My hope is that you know that. You've experienced that God has been with you in those times. Persecution, my friend, is inevitable. We can't escape from it. When the church is the church, when the body of Christ is at its best, persecution is bound to happen. But when we play it safe, that won't be the case. If the church is going to be the church, we cannot afford to play it safe. We have to be willing to take a risk. When we're Christians, we have to be Christians, and we can't play it safe. We have to be willing to take the risk. It may make us look peculiar. It may make us look odd. It may make us look different than somebody else. But if we're Christians, if we are the body of Christ as we say we are, then we must do what we're at. You know, we're in this season of the year when we're calling pastors and reappointing pastors. Now, I'm not moving. Don't get excited. It's hard to say that. Oh, I better clarify this a minute. The phone hasn't rung at my house yet. But one of the things that I know about churches is that we are hard on pastors. And pastors are sometimes hard on their congregations, too. We're not innocent in that. But we as the church have to be the church, and we have to be persons who stand up, but we also need to be people who are gracious and loving at the same time. And there are churches out there who persecute their pastors. That's not something you want to be known for. Not a good thing. But there are probably pastors who persecute their congregations as well. But when the church is at its best, we're willing to take risks. We're willing to stand up and do what needs to be done and get our hands dirty. Our world, our society needs us. All you have to do is look at the television. I don't need to tell you what's on there, you know. Like John said, at very most, we need to be praying. But we also need to think about where do we fit into the equation and how do we represent the church in the world in which we live. You may not die for your faith. You may not die for your relationship with Christ. But when we do that which is unpopular to the world, when we do that which looks odd to the world, because it's what God, what Christ would have us to do, when we seek to earn an honest day's wage and not shortcut the company, when we speak up or stand for someone who's being mistreated at the risk of being challenged for ourselves because we believe that what's happening is wrong, is persecution potentially. Simply practicing the love and forgiveness that Jesus teaches us when it doesn't look popular to the rest of the folks around us, we may stand a chance of being persecuted. So my question for you today is, will you get your hands dirty? Will you step out there on faith? Will you risk being persecuted? Will you be loyal to Christ rather than to the world, rather than to that which is expedient and safe, and risk being persecuted, risk being challenged, risk being put to the test because of the cause of Jesus Christ? And I promise you, if you do, He won't be over there. He'll be right here with you in that moment. Amen.
The church's one foundation is Jesus Christ, her Lord.
We want to thank you for being a part of Foundations for Living this morning, and remind you that every Sunday morning at 9:30, we meet in the sanctuary at the Van Buren United Methodist Church. We would love to have you come and be a part of us here in Van Buren, or join us on the air again next week with Foundations for Living. Also, you may hear this and other messages on our website at vanburenumc.org.
You have been listening to Foundations for Living, a presentation of the Van Buren United Methodist Church, underwritten by Finn Cannon Ford of Hartford City.